Southwest Airlines faces a $10 million fine. The FAA has lost 122 all-access inspector badges. And TCAS pays for itself over Pennsylvania. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, March 7th, 2008. The Federal Aviation Administration announced Thursday afternoon it has initiated action to collect a $10.2 million civil penalty from Southwest Airlines for operating 46 airplanes without performing mandatory inspections for fuselage fatigue cracking. After conducting the inspections, the airline found that six of the 46 airplanes had fatigue cracks. Nicholas Sabatini, FAA Associate Administrator for Aviation Safety, said in an official statement, quote, "The FAA is taking action against Southwest Airlines for failing to follow rules that are designed to protect passengers and crew. We expect the airline industry to fully comply with all FAA directives and take corrective action," unquote. The FAA alleges that from June 18, 2006 to March 14, 2007, Southwest operated 46 Boeing 737s on more than 59,000 flights while failing to comply with a September 2004 FAA airworthiness directive that required repetitive inspections of certain fuselage areas to detect fatigue cracking. As ANN reported, earlier estimates had predicted a fine of more like $3 million. Southwest Airlines has 30 days from receipt of the FAA's civil penalty letter to respond to the agency. The airline had already said it would be surprised to face even the lesser fine, quote, "considering it was Southwest that found, disclosed, and fixed this issue last March," unquote. In a scandal reminiscent of last year's expose of careless handling of security badges in Chicago, Illinois, a Dallas, Texas TV station has uncovered the loss of 122 FAA safety inspector badges over the last 5 years. NBC5 News in Dallas talked with Denny Kelly, a former commercial pilot and private investigator, who said the badge can give a person free access to nearly every secure area of an airport, and even to the cockpits of airliners while in flight. Quote, "The FAA badge is probably, of all the badges, just as dangerous, if not more so, than any other. A guy walks up with that badge and says, you know, I'm an FAA guy, here's my badge. There's nothing they do about it. Okay, fine, go through," unquote. The agency reportedly refused NBC5's request for an on-camera interview, but insisted the public is not in danger and promises to take an aggressive stance to prevent the loss of badges in the future. So what does aggressive stance mean exactly? The FAA says most badges were stolen when inspectors left them unattended in vehicles. That's now forbidden. The agency says it will also stop sending badges through the U.S. mail. Collision avoidance systems in the cockpits of two commercial airliners apparently came to the rescue Tuesday after an air traffic control trainee accidentally directed a regional jet into the path of a Delta Airlines MD-88 at 35,000 feet. The incident happened at 8:33 a.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday over Somerset, Pennsylvania, and involved Delta Flight 1654 from Cincinnati to New York LaGuardia and PSA Flight 2273, operating as U.S. Airways Express from Scranton, Pennsylvania to Charlotte, North Carolina. FAA spokeswoman Elizabeth Isham Corey said the two aircraft were separated by 400 feet vertically and 3 miles laterally at their closest point. Melissa Ott, the National Air Traffic Controllers Association spokeswoman for Cleveland Center, told the Associated Press the aircraft were less than 10 seconds from colliding when the MD-88's traffic collision avoidance system directed an immediate descent. Quote, "It was the closest call I've ever seen in my 18 years of air traffic control," unquote. Corey said the accident was an operational error and will go on the record of the veteran controller overseeing the trainees' operations. Quote, "The controllers will be retrained," unquote. NATCA, as we've come to expect, blamed understaffing and inadequate training time for new controllers at the facility. The NTSB Wednesday recommended the FAA address a safety concern raised by two engine failures on Bombardier CRJ-200 regional jets. The board says a flaw during the manufacture of fan blades led to the two engine failures and wants the blades removed from service before another incident occurs. A companion recommendation was sent to the Canadian government. In both instances, a July 27, 2006 engine failure on an Air Nostrum CRJ shortly after takeoff from Barcelona, Spain, and a May 24, 2007 engine failure on an Atlantic Southeast Airlines CRJ in cruise flight from Syracuse to Atlanta, a fan blade on a General Electric CF34 3B1 turbofan engine fractured, causing a loud bang, severe vibration, and in one case, an engine fire. Both flight crews declared emergencies and landed safely with no injuries. The fan blades, and 28,000 others like them, were manufactured by Teleflex Aerospace in Mexico. The ASA fan blade failed after 4,717 cycles and 5,845 hours. The board issued 6 recommendations to the FAA, including that it require GE Aviation to define a reasonable maximum time frame below 4,717 cycles since new for those blades and require they be removed from service before that limit is exceeded. NTSB also wants modifications in the engine design to ensure that high engine vibrations will not cause engine fires. You can find the full text of the board's recommendations using a link from the bottom of the print version of this story on our website at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, the pilot of a Beech Twin gets an F-16 welcome in the Washington, D.C. ADIZ. The Delta-Northwest merger might not be dead after all. And Cessna reports its first multiplane order for the Citation Columbus. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 7th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. A twin-engine Beechcraft was intercepted by F-16s over Washington, D.C. Wednesday evening after apparently violating restricted airspace around the nation's capital. Federal officials told CNN the plane flew near the U.S. Capitol shortly after 6 p.m. Eastern Time. NORAD says two F-16s scrambled and intercepted the aircraft, identified it, and escorted it outside the restricted airspace. FAA spokeswoman Laura Brown said the aircraft entered the 30-mile radius air defense identification zone from the north at 14,500 feet. It was not immediately clear whether the aircraft entered the 15-nautical-mile-wide flight-restricted zone at the center of the ADIZ, directly over D.C. Controllers directed the plane to land in Richmond, Virginia, where the pilot was greeted. Pilot union leaders for Delta and Northwest Airlines reportedly met quietly on Wednesday to discuss the possibility of reopening talks on integrating seniority lists should the carriers merge operations. Citing 3 unidentified sources, the Associated Press reports the meetings included leaders of the respective chapters of the Airline Pilots Association, but not their negotiating teams. The meeting in Washington, D.C. marked the first talks since February 21st. An agreement on seniority considerations is considered a merger prerequisite by both airlines. Delta stresses it will continue to survive as an independent carrier if talks with Northwest fail, stressing it isn't necessarily interested in pursuing a backup deal with another carrier. In comments last week, Delta President and CFO Ed Bastian reiterated his airline expects solid growth for the year and has a great standalone plan. Cessna reports getting its first multiplane order for the big new Citation Columbus from a longtime customer who participated in its development. Schweitzer Engineering Laboratories of Pullman, Washington, will use 2 of the long-range, large-cabin Citations to support its global expansion and customer support efforts. SEL has 1,500 employees and currently operates 2 Citation 10 business jets and a Citation Bravo. The planes also get used for Special Olympics and Angel Flight missions. SEL has also ordered a Citation Sovereign for delivery in 2009. Roger White, a senior VP of sales and marketing for Cessna, says the plane maker sought input from prospective buyers, including SEL founder and president Ed Schweitzer. Quote, his opinion as a customer and as an engineer who appreciates advanced design was invaluable, and he helped shape what has become the Citation Columbus, unquote. The Columbus, a.k.a. the Citation 850, will enter service in 2014, with a 36-foot cabin and a 4,000 nautical mile range nonstop at Mach 0.8. Cessna says the jet is configurable for seating up to 10, and the environmentally friendly Pratt & Whitney Canada PW810 engines will also make it the most fuel-efficient aircraft in its class. Hawker Beechcraft's quest to certify its new Hawker 900XP throughout the world is on track. The plane maker announced Thursday the 900 recently achieved certification by the European Aviation Safety Agency and several other international agencies. The FAA certificate was obtained last August. The 900XP is now certified in Australia, Aruba, the Czech Republic, Macau, Saudi Arabia, South Africa, Spain, Switzerland, Turkey, and the United Arab Emirates. Deliveries in Europe and other countries began in December. Brad Hatt, president of commercial sales, explains the plane's appeal. Quote, "The Hawker 900XP has a lower cost of operations while offering superior capabilities to the highly successful Hawker 850XP. These enhanced capabilities include significant improvements in engine thrust, fuel efficiency, range, and overall performance," unquote. Using Honeywell's new TFE731-50R engine, hot and high altitude performance improves over the 850. Long range cruise improves to almost 2,800 nautical miles with six passengers, and high speed cruise range improves to 2,307. That's an almost 9% improvement. Hawker Beechcraft says the new engines result in 5% lower fuel burn and 10% lower engine maintenance costs. The Hawker 900XP has the same cabin size as the 800 series, which is the largest and most successful cabin in its class. Still ahead, James Polhinki wants to fly again. DOT expands commercial airline service to Colombia. And Denver International is criticized for censoring its Wi-Fi. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design. Maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
It's time to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, March 7th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. For any of us who've achieved the dream of flying, we know what a motivation that dream can be. Watching people with disabilities achieve the dream is especially inspiring when you know what it takes to get there. James Polhinki is such a case. James has flown before but suffered brain damage, broken bones, a collapsed lung, and the loss of his left leg in a 2006 crash. He's had multiple surgeries, medical bills topping $4 million so far, and still faces a long rehab process. His attorney says his dream to return to the cockpit is what keeps him going. But this pilot faces challenges beyond just getting an FAA medical. Not everyone wants to see him back in the cockpit. Polhinki was the co-pilot of Comair Flight 5191. On the morning of August 27, 2006, he and the captain of a Bombardier regional jet were assigned runway 22 for takeoff from Lexington Bluegrass Airport in Kentucky. That runway is 7,000 feet long and 150 feet wide. Instead, they lined up an attempted departure on runway 26, the general aviation strip, which is half the length and half the width of 22. The National Transportation Safety Board said the plane's cockpit voice recorder revealed Polhinki and Captain Jeffrey Clay noticed they were on an unlit runway as the plane reached 100 knots, but there was no evidence of an attempt to abort the takeoff. The NTSB also said the pilots violated sterile cockpit rules banning non-essential chatter during takeoff. As we know, the plane ran out of pavement before reaching rotation speed and crashed just past the runway's end. Of the 47 passengers and three crew members on board, Polhinki was the only survivor. He's retained an attorney, Larry Moore, who told the Associated Press Wednesday it's uncertain what steps would be needed to return Polhinki's pilot certificate to good standing. Comair spokeswoman Kate Marks said Polhinki is still officially an employee of the airline, listed as being on medical leave. Polhinki is being sued by family members of crash victims. He has, in turn, reportedly filed his own lawsuits against the airport, the FAA, and the makers of airport maps. The nation of Colombia doesn't appear in U.S. headlines very often, unless it's accompanied by phrases like drug cartel or leftist guerrillas. But travel between the U.S. and Colombia is now a market of 750,000 people a year, and the U.S. Department of Transportation is moving to make more airline seats available on routes between the two nations. DOT proposed this week to open 4 daily flights to Bogota, awarding routes to the Colombian capital to Delta Airlines from New York's JFK, JetBlue Airways from Orlando, Spirit Airlines from Fort Lauderdale, and Continental Airlines from Houston. Airline travel to Colombia is still regulated, and DOT's proposal would force American Airlines to give up its existing daily flight to Bogota. The changes are made possible by a new aviation agreement between the U.S. and Colombia, signed in September, and flights would be phased in by the end of this year. Objections to the proposal must be filed within 14 days. American Airlines parent AMR Corp. wasted no time in filing. Spokesman Tim Smith said, quote, "We do not believe that it was legitimate for DOT to seize Americans' duly authorized frequencies for reallocation to another carrier," unquote. American acquired the route from Eastern Airlines back in 1990. Despite filing its objection, American is already ramping down service on that route. Denver International Airport has been a lightning rod for criticism over the years, and now its implementation of free Wi-Fi has launched a new controversy. According to the Denver Post, those surfing on free Wi-Fi there are not allowed to view such sites as VanityFair.com due to what's considered that magazine's often provocative content. The gossip column PerezHilton.com and the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition website are also on the banned list. Airport officials freely admit they made the choice to invite complaints from fans of unrestricted access rather than face the complaints of families with impressionable kids, and the Internet Freedom folks have not been shy about stepping up. A poster on the ISP Planet blog commented, quote, "Software designed for the prudery and rigidity of Sudan is determining user experiences in the United States," unquote. Zini Jardin, the editor of freeform news site BoingBoing.net, noted that the blocks can be circumvented by clever users and said the policy is bad for Denver. Quote, "It seems particularly unfortunate that something as symbolic as the city's airport, a gateway to culture, commerce, and the flow of ideas, would be blocked in such a fundamental way," unquote. But some of the most stinging criticism comes from frequent airport users who notice that the swimsuit edition of SI, not to mention much cruder fare such as Hustler magazine, are still freely available at airport newsstands. And finally, want to drive environmental activists nuts? American Airlines has found a way. London's Daily Telegraph reports that on February 9th, American had 5 customers bumped from a canceled flight from Chicago to London and was unable to make any other arrangements for them. So it put just those 5 people on a Boeing 777 and flew them to London. As a passenger, you gotta love this. Besides the total freedom from screaming kids and adjacent seat encroachment from strangers, the airline upgraded everyone to business class at no extra charge. And that would be what, 1 flight attendant for every 2 passengers? American says it wasn't as ridiculous a decision as it first sounds, because there was a plane load of passengers in London who had expected to come home on the canceled flight. So without those 5 passengers, they'd have needed to dispatch a completely empty plane to go get them. But members of the environmentalist group Friends of the Earth are beside themselves. The group's Richard Dyer called the trip an obscene waste of fuel and called for increased fuel taxes to prevent such abuses. Quote, "Through no fault of their own, each passenger's carbon footprint for this flight is about 45 times what it would have been if the plane had been full," unquote. Even without the government penalties the group proposes, American says it lost about $60,000 making the flight with just 5 people on board. You know, call me insensitive, but if I'm an airline executive being constantly hassled by groups like Plain Stupid in London, and I have an opportunity to spend $60,000 of the company's money to jerk their chains really hard, I'm there. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Kate Hanai, founder of the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. Kate was in the courtroom this week for the airline's second appeal of a New York law, which would levy fines on airlines which don't care for the basic needs of passengers stranded for hours on grounded planes. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. And don't forget, in much of North America, we lose an hour's sleep Sunday morning as clocks get turned 1 hour later for daylight savings time. Don't forget, or you'll get to the airport an hour late. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.